This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, 4 o'clock hour. Gwen and Chris. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, certainly not idle today. He called the ball game in the middle of the night in Korea, and he and Jesse Agler will be back at it in the middle of the night again. 2 a.m. for the Sammy Levitt-led EcoWater San Diego Padres pregame show. That's a 2 a.m. 3:05 first pitch.
2:05 a.m. if we're being serious.
For Sammy?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you see Sammy put up a video of himself in right before the pregame show doing like sprints in the hallway?
Yes.
You did? Okay, good. I'm glad you saw that.
I, along with every other person on earth, subscribe to Sam Levitt's Twitter feed.
You know,
he has more followers than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
I'm getting, I love Sam, but I'm getting a little jealous of Sam and the love for him.
Really?
So, yeah.
He can do no wrong.
He can't.
There's no argument there.
And I don't blame people for loving him.
He can do absolutely no wrong.
He's very lovable.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, that's
well, the reason he's lovable is he does the post-game show, then he drives down to Seven Mile Casino and he joins the Ben and Wood show.
I know. He does
he's
great
everywhere.
Things like that.
He's everywhere.
That's incredible.
He is Sam Levitt and we're not. Simple as that. Gwen and Chris program here coming up on a round of Chris versus the fans. And I mentioned this earlier, Scraby, but we ran into a lot of people this morning. Over 350 people came down to Seven Mile Casino for our opening day party. And most of the folks that I was lucky enough to say hello to said, you know, the time I was playing against you on Chris versus the fans, this happened or that happened.
Yeah.
But everybody had a recollection of their time on Chris versus the fans.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciated that too. So this segment has become quite the hit, apparently, with all of those out there. If you'd like to play, good luck. Keep dialing 833-288-0973. It's hard to get through because everybody wants to qualify. I don't even know if everybody wants to qualify with the grand prize.
I think they do.
You do?
Yes. Everybody always says, I hope I win.
Really?
Before they hang out.
Two-night stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas and dinner for two. Immerse yourself in timeless elegance at Fontainebleau Las Vegas. A luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau Las Vegas built upon more than 70 years of sublime beauty, unparalleled service, and timeless design. Book now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Let's play.
Ah.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so you have to make it through the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time
player,
let us know before the first question. You'll get that question for free today. Now, let's get into our first contestant.
You're ready, huh?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. We had the
I'm doing a lot better, Chris, by the way, than I thought I was going to do. Because I was very tired driving into work.
Got a couple more hours to go. By the way, last night, speaking of Chris versus the fans trivia, Jeopardy crowned a new champion.
Who's that?
I don't know his name, but there was a tournament of champions, and he won. And I love Jeopardy.
You
I
do.
Watch it religiously. I actually tape it. Every night. It's a on my DVR. Sometimes I have to go back and watch three or four episodes. I don't watch it every night. But I really like Jeopardy. And Ken Jennings is, he's amazing. He's not only the greatest Jeopardy player of all time, But he's done a remarkable job hosting the show in place of the late Alex Trebek.
Yes, yes. I have
He's almost as good as you are at hosting Chris versus the Fans.
I have to give you credit because when Chris says he does something, he does it.
Does it go all the way in?
And he does record Jeopardy.
I do.
Every single time.
I like Jeopardy. I'm not ashamed to admit that. It's a good show.
Yes. Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are both always on my DVR from Jacob.
Yeah, don't do any
and that's a young person.
I do no Wheel of Fortune.
No Wheel of Fortune? I love Wheel of Fortune.
Nah, not into that.
I want to buy a vowel, Chris. All right.
I want to buy a vowel.
I have Wheel of Fortune game on my phone. Anyway. Let's go to our first contestant, Lance. Hello, Lance.
Hello?
Hey, Lance.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Pretty good. Welcome in.
Yeah, I have spotty reception, but I'll try my best.
All right, here we go. Let's get you in.
All right. Scraby's questions are usually pretty spotty, so.
Oh, yeah. Does San Diego State play Thursday or Friday?
50-50.
They play on Friday.
Friday is correct.
Got it.
I figured Chris would know that anyway, so why not try it? Here we go, question number two, Lance. What player got his 3,000th hit while playing for the Texas Rangers in 2017?
Adrian Beltre.
Wow. We
Good
got a
job.
Player.
Good job.
We got a player.
Lance looking to run the table today.
Yes. Here we go, Lance. Question number three. You get this right, you're qualified for Las Vegas.
You're
Chris
on your
gets
way.
It wrong, you're qualified for Las Vegas.
That's right.
Getting punchy. Yes. Here we go, Lance. Who holds the Padres record for home runs in a single season as a rookie? Who holds the Padres record for home runs in a single season as a rookie?
Benito Santiago.
Wow, that was a hell of a good guess right
there. Stay there.
I was honestly hoping he'd be right so that I didn't have to miss the question. Because I don't think I'm going to get this question. Most home runs in a single season by a Padre rookie.
Correct.
I mean, that could be anybody.
No, it couldn't. I mean, there's not many players that are capable of
doing this. Yeah, but somebody could have hit like 15 home runs as a rookie. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to guess Adrian Gonzalez. You're going to buzz me, so I'll just have to guess Adrian Gonzalez. I can't believe it. Jesus. That was loud.
Chris almost said a bad word.
I know. Surprise
well,
me there.
Well, Lance, you are the winner. Stay right there. I got to get
you. Very good question, Lance.
That was way easier than I
spotty,
ever imagined.
Spotty reception or
yes,
not.
Stay there, Lance. I'll try to get you in the break. The answer, not Fernando Tatis Jr., who I thought, Jed Jerko.
Yeah, well, I would have never come up with that.
I thought Jed Jerko was like
I could have
like
guessed
a,
for like 5 years. I would have never come up with Jed Jerko.
I guess Jerko, okay, all right.
No, it's a good question. I have no
I
problem
Jerko
with the question.
I thought Jerko was known as like a,
know.
I thought that may have been an easier one, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's a tough one. Jed Jerko really became kind of a who's that player,
who
you know, once his career went
player?
On. He hit, I'm looking him up, he got 23 home runs. As a rookie, 2013, had 30 for the Cardinals in 2016, and then it all kind of went away. Jed Jerko ended up as a .245 lifetime hitter.
Jed Jerko played in the time where I was all over gallivanting across the country trying to find a college.
Who
fans
the Padres,
liked him, though, right?
They seemed to like him when he was a rookie and hitting 23 home runs.
good.
It seemed like they liked him that year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, but I don't know what else.
That's
you know.
A really good point.
Yeah. Padres traded him with cash to the St. Louis Cardinals for an outfielder by the name of John Jay. J-A-Y.
Oh, I remember John Jay.
Yeah, and I don't remember too much about him.
I don't think he did much, yeah.
No, that goes into the bad trade category.
Who made that trade?
I don't know. 2015. Was AJ here? I think so. Ten years ago?
Was. Maybe he was. Yeah,
December
I think he
of 2015.
Was.
So blame AJ for that one. But, you know, like I said, Jed Jerko really didn't have much of a career, I must say.
AJ Preller took over in 2014, so he did make
he
that
did
trade.
He did make that trade. Yeah. Jed Jerko, I would say he is a far less than average ball player. in his career.
Okay.
John Jay was even further from average.
Why do I know John Jay's name more so than Jed Jerko? Did John Jay do anything for the Cardinals?
Very little.
Okay.
He was a speedy little center fielder who couldn't really hit his weight.
Okay.
I got some bad news for your Reds.
Oh, no.
Your Cincinnati Reds.
Uh-oh.
And now, I picked the Reds to win the division this year, and as soon as I did that,
everything fell apart.
Players started falling like flies. Yeah. They lost Noel V. Marte, their third base infield prospect, 80-game suspension, tested positive, PEIs. They lost center fielder T.J. Friedl. He's out indefinitely with a fractured wrist. Now, second baseman Matt McClain is being evaluated for a shoulder injury that could require surgery.
Uh-oh. And if he gets in faster
than
any of us.
Yeah, I know. That's just part of the world.
Yeah, I know. That really,
you know, that's like the old thing that celebrities who make $14 million a movie show up to a restaurant, they get their meal comped.
Yeah.
Who makes $4 an hour, nobody ever wants to comp my meal.
Well, it's
a backwards way of looking at it. The restaurant ought to comp a meal to some guy who really needs it, not the celebrity makes $14
million. I get it. Yeah. I get it. But then the celebrity says, hey, I ate at this restaurant.
Oh,
and
I know.
Everybody goes
I get
and
it.
To this restaurant.
I get it.
If Chris ever walks into your establishment, can you please
comp his meal?
Comp his meal. Do something nice for Chris because he needs a comped meal every once in a while.
He doesn't need a comped meal once in a while. He's not complaining about it.
You have your own sandwich.
Yeah, at the place down in Spring Valley.
I'm forgetting the name at the moment.
I know. It's a restaurant that...
My sandwich
is on the menu. It's been a long time since I've been down there. It's a great place.
It's the Cristello sandwich.
Yeah, pulled pork sandwich. Pulled pork sando.
It is the pulled pork sando.
Yeah.
And you actually chose that, right? Cali Barbecue.
That's where it's
Cali.
At.
Yes.
Cali
That's
Barbecue. Well, no, I didn't. They approached me and said, we want to name a sandwich after you. We're going to call it the Monte Cristello instead of the Monte Cristo.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's going to be the Monte Cristello. So they made that. They put it together. Their chefs worked on it. They realized nobody's going to want to buy one of those.
Why?
That's what they concluded.
People buy the Monte Cristo.
They didn't think they would sell too many of them, so they said, you know what? We decided that we're going to make a pulled pork sandwich, which will be a big seller, and we'll put your name on that one. And I said, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to be on the big seller.
Now, the big thing that happened, though, was that about a year or two after they did that, the San Diego Union-Tribune did a reader's poll.
Yeah.
And named the top five sandwiches in the city. And my pulled pork sandwich was on the cover of the Night and Day issue of the San Diego Union-Tribune. And it said, get Cristello's pulled pork sando at Cali
Barbecue.
Comfort. It's Cali Comfort Barbecue.
Cali Comfort.
Yeah.
So when I Googled Cristello's sandwich, that is what came up. It is a San Diego Union-Tribune top five sandwich.
Yeah. It's really delicious. So don't just go there and order it because my name's on it. Go there and order it because it's really tasty.
We got to go there and you got to order it. And I got to know if they have any idea who's ordering that sandwich.
They used to know me very well in there, but because I used to live right by there and I no longer do.
That would be hilarious if they're
It was one of the nicest things that anybody ever did.
No,
I was
great.
Really, Sean is the guy who runs Cali Comfort.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a terrific guy.
He is.
Real quick on Matt McClain. David Bell, manager of the Reds, says all options are on the table. He will definitely open the season on the injured list. They're hoping he can avoid the shoulder surgery, but if not, that's a big blow to the Reds because he was a big-time young player, up-and-comer. Jonathan India, who is going to be DH this year, will probably go back to second base. That's the what the Reds are going to do about it.
I don't understand what the Reds are doing with Jonathan India. Wasn't he the rookie of the year a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And then it seems like they have not wanted him on their team ever since.
Matt McClain is better, so he beat him out at second base.
Okay, there you go.
Now Jonathan India is going to be back at second base.
All right.
We've got Grambling State and Montana State going toe-to-toe in the first eight. Scraby named it, renamed it the first eight
it
instead
is
of
the
first four. Eight.
Yeah.
In Dayton, 27-26 right now, Montana State leads Grambling State. Keep you up to date on that. Later on, Boise State takes on Colorado. March Madness kicks into gear for full effect tomorrow morning, 9:20.
Really looking forward to this.
Well, I mean, I got the Padres at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got March Madness tomorrow.
I got a haircut tomorrow.
Great week to just get sick. Do not go to work tomorrow or Friday. Got the Aztec game Friday morning. Should be a national holiday, I say.
Was it last year that
the
we
start
had
of March
two
Madness
games?
should be a national holiday? Never mind the day after the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, we have to choose one, Chris.
Well, I take March Madness. I'd rather be home watching March Madness all day.
I think the people who are hungover after the Super Bowl.
I will tell you right now that tomorrow I will watch March Madness from, you know, wire to wire, and I will have a difficult time pulling myself away from it to come into work. I'm just giving you a heads up.
We're very different.
You may have to do the show by yourself tomorrow.
What's the
good luck
on
that?
Difference?
A hearty har har har. 4:16 traffic, and then during the break, I'll strangle Scraby, and we'll come back after that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I decided to spare Scraby, despite his rude comments in the last segment. 4:22 is the time, Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palo studios here in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be on the call later on tonight. / early tomorrow morning, like 3 a.m. type. Tony and Jesse will have game two of the Padres and the Dodgers. If you're just tuning in, Dodgers won the first one 5-2. A four-run eighth inning did it for L.A. The key play, and you're going to see it over and over on the highlights tonight, was a ground ball that Gavin Lux hit that should have been a double play, only the ball went right through the glove of Jake Cronenworth.
Like butter.
Like right on through. Something I've never seen that before. I've seen the ball get stuck in the glove. I've never seen it go right through the glove. Scraby has been researching a potential conspiracy theory, and
I've been turned on to another conspiracy theory.
The possibility of foul play here. It has to do with Shohei Ohtani, whose translator was fired today after it was reported that he stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani to make bets at an illegal bookie. Mm-hmm. Or it was, depending on what story you believe, or Shohei Ohtani took the $4.5 million to try and help cover this guy's gambling debts.
Which is a great dude if you're Shohei Ohtani, but I would stay away from that.
Yes, I would too. But Scraby's feeling is that the interpreter probably bet on the game, bet on the Dodgers. They were losing, so he went and, in a sneaky manner, tinkered with the glove of Jake Cronenworth, thereby causing the glove to break. That is Scraby's ridiculous conspiracy theory, but it's almost as good as any other possibility as to how you could just all of a sudden get a hole in your glove.
Well, my other theory is that drunk Rob Manfred got into the dugout.
Drunk Rob Manfred stumbled into the dugout.
I don't know that we can ever have Rob Manfred on the show because we have to bring up
Can you play a little clip of Rob Manfred so the people that
I need to get a clip that we can just play over and over. That's what I need.
Play a little something from that because people don't understand why we always call him drunk Rob Manfred.
That's very true.
They may not remember what happened after the Dodgers won the World Series that year in 2020.
Yes.
Rob Manfred was on the field presenting Corey Seager with his World Series MVP trophy.
All right, here it is.
And he stumbled and slurred his way through.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series
victory. I will see here the entire break.
It was even better than I thought it was.
With the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award.
Corey Seager, I got to give him credit. He's staring at him like, are you drunk? Are you, like, what is happening with you right now?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And I've never been a good one to stick up for Rob Manfred, but I will tell you it had to do with the fact that there was an echo in the building on the PA system because, remember, there was only a handful of fans in there for the game because it was during the COVID year.
If I'm Rob Manfred, don't you? Never mind. We've already talked about.
We've
this
already
a million
talked it
times.
Through.
Yes.
Here's a shocker. Are you ready? This is something you did not expect to ever hear. Me and John Calipari agree on something. Maybe the first time ever.
Wow.
John Calipari, the coach of Kentucky, was asked about the growing noise out there to expand the NCAA 68 team basketball format. Said Calipari, I want it to stay where it is.
Yeah.
I know people get mad. They get mad at the committee. He said, you won't believe this. I've been mad at the committee myself, but you may be mad at your seed or where they've shipped you to. We're always going to get upset no matter what. But Calipari wants them to keep it where it's at. Oakland coach Greg Campy, also who's playing Calipari this weekend or this week, said, this is the holy grail for mid-majors, the NCAA tournament. I've said it many times. Don't change it. Please don't change it. It's one of the greatest sporting events in the world. There are people that want to expand it, and the reason they want to expand it is not to help schools like Oakland or the smaller guys that provide the Cinderella aspect of the tournament. They want to expand the teams because they don't want just five teams from the ACC. They want seven or eight. They don't want just eight teams from the Big 12. They want all 12. They think that every power conference team basically ought to have a shot at getting into the tournament ahead of those other little schools. So the only way to do that is to keep the little schools involved, but just select more power. This is all a play by the power conferences to get more teams and therefore get, follow the dollar bill, Scraby.
Oh, money.
Get more money. The more teams you have in the tournament, the more your conference makes. This is why people are pushing for this.
So over the
There's just
the
no reason that I can see to do this, said North Carolina State coach Kevin Keats, who would like to see the tournament expanded. He said, when you look at football, they don't have this issue. You can make a bowl game at under 500. Yeah. And everybody hates that.
That's very rare, too.
But we hate that.
We do.
We hate the fact that you can get into a bowl game at 6-6 even. You don't really have to earn your way to a bowl game. All you have to do is field a team. I don't think everybody should just field a team and get into the NCAA tournament.
I agree. We don't need more teams. I don't think we need more teams either. Why can't... There's something about... It would be
the tournament by 10 teams, and you're going to get some of the little conference schools who finish second and give them those.
They don't need to be in.
But they're not. Well, they're not going to put them in. The only people they're going to put in with an expanded tournament is more power conference teams from each conference. That's all they're going to do. So don't get hoodwinked there. That's all they're trying to do is make more money for themselves. But John Calipari, even though his conference and his team would make more money, John's saying no. All right.
I mean,
for once,
just,
I agree with you, Coach.
Are we just
for
really talking about it because you. Rick Pitino had a problem with everything this year?
Well, of course, Rick didn't make it this year, so he's got a big problem. Well, guess what? It's just like this is the same thing's going to happen in the college football playoff. You mark my words.
Well, they're up to 14 teams now.
Right. They stretched it from 4 to 12 and maybe now to 14. Whatever they put the college football playoff at, the next team that's left out is going to bitch. That's just never going to change.
It's true.
Right now, it's the 5th and 6th ranked team that says, oh, I should have been in the playoff, like Florida State last year, et cetera. Well, now it'll just be the 13th and 14th team that'll say, well, we should have been one of the 12. You can never add enough teams to eliminate the controversy.
It's true.
So stop adding teams.
The more teams you add, the more controversy can happen.
I agree.
Wow. That was
so
first
me and
time today.
Yeah, me and Calipari and you all agree at the same thing. Coming up on Gwen and Chris, we will check into today's Big Five. It's coming up. Before we get there, I want to update you on the NCAA tournament game. Halftime, Montana State 42, Grambling State 33. More Gwen and Chris ahead. Welcome back. 4:36 is the time. I believe it's 9:36 in the morning in Seoul, South Korea. The morning after, the Padres dropped the season opener to the Los Angeles Dodgers there in Korea, 5-2 the final. We were going to do our Big Five right now, but...
Found someone much more important.
Much more important. Much higher ranking official.
Yes, I hope you can hear us. Tony, can you hear us?
Tony Gwynn Jr., are you there?
I can.
Okay, there he is.
I can hear
there.
You guys.
There
right,
he
okay.
is. All right, let's check some traffic, and then we'll get some thoughts from Tony on the season opener. All right, really happy that Tony is with us. Special treat to have him on with the proceedings today. Tony, how are you? How did the call go? How was the how were the opening tonight festivities?
Good. It was as anticipated. A lot of important faces on the field before the game, and then obviously the game was going, I thought, pretty well until that eighth inning. But it was nice to finally play some baseball games that actually counted.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Well, just to welcome you to what we've been talking about all day today. They're calling it Glovegate, Tony.
Already, huh?
That's right. What in the world happened to Jake Cronenworth's glove? Now, I got to give Annie Heilbrun credit for the title of that. But Scraby and I have run with it with all kinds of, you know, Scraby, ridiculous conspiracy theories. I don't believe any of those conspiracy theories. However, something happened because I've been watching baseball a long time. I don't recall a ball going right through a glove. I've seen many of them get stuck in the webbing. But this is something that I was honestly shocked happened. And I also want to congratulate you because we played your call. You're in Jesse's call. And you noticed it right away. And I don't think anybody else even noticed it until they showed replays. Have you ever seen this happen before?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
It happens every year. Sorry, Scrape. I don't know what's going on with my camera right now.
No worries. I'll just take you off camera. Don't worry.
I think my computer needs a charge. It's probably why the camera's not acting the proper way. You know what? It happens often. I would venture to say it happens a couple times a year. A ball goes through a glove, the webbing. You know, guys are attached to their gloves. You see how fast Crone was able to get a new one and be out there. He probably had that glove. But when you break a glove in after, you know, so much time and work spent on it, you're not expecting a ball to sizzle through the webbing like that. It's always a surprise. But, you know, it's just an unfortunate, really bad luck. For the Padres on that particular play, because Jay got a tremendous jump on that ball and was going to turn two. I have no doubt, and they would have got out that inning. Instead, that ball rolls. It's basically whips through that webbing. And, you know, that kind of opened the floodgates a little bit.
Ah, it's unbelievable that had happened. And here's the other thing I was bringing up, Tony, was that, you know, he takes infield with that glove before every inning. So that means that, you know, he was getting throws from short and third and second base right before the inning started. So it obviously was working like 5-10 minutes before this happened. And it wasn't like Gavin Lux, you know, hit a seed down there. It was just a regular routine hopper. So, I mean, it just seemed to defy everything that can happen with a glove. But there it was, torn right through.
Now, it's easy to focus in on the ball going through the glove, but that actually, you know, wasn't what put him in that situation. You had the pitch clock walk that got that inning started.
Yeah.
You had a single before that. You had a walk before that actual at-bat. And, you know, that plagued the Padres last night, 9 walks. It's hard to, you know, I think Jesse is having our PR team kind of look into it, see, you know, a 9-walk game and a team being able to end up victorious. That probably doesn't happen a lot. But, yeah, obviously – the walks are going to happen, hits are going to happen, and you get a play like that where they can get you out of an inning. You know, that all kind of could have changed it a little bit. But, you know, Padres, at least last night, they struggled with the walk part portion of it.
Yeah, not only 9 walks, had a hit batter. So they gave the Dodgers 10 freebies last night. And you know, the game opened with a with a pitch clock violation on Yu Darvish, which I honestly, because I had forgotten all about the pitch clock myself, and I wonder if you kind of forgot about it. But
we played the first two exhibition games without a clock, without any of the rules.
See, there
the
you
funny,
go.
The funny thing was both of those games were like 2.5 hours. Like, it was almost like the clock wasn't needed. And then all of a sudden the clock goes up and you got violations everywhere.
Did you like, and I did, but the way Mike Shildt managed this game, I mean, he used 8 pitchers, maybe I'm short, 8. But he said he's going to manage it like a playoff game because he only got the 2 games, you know, before everybody can reset. I thought he did everything right. I mean, you can't manage against the walks and you can't manage against, you know, the ball bouncing through like that. But I thought the Padres did everything, you know, that they could do here.
I thought he pushed all the right buttons, quite frankly. I think maybe the Darvish outing, you know, the long inning kind of sped that up a little bit where he had to go to the bullpen a little sooner than he wanted to. But he played the matchups the way I think, you know, a lot of people were clamoring for last year. In all likelihood, Wandy Peralta could very well be the setup man, right? But in last night's game, he came in the 7th because the best lefties were all coming up in the 7th. So he came in that spot, and I think it was Betts, Otani, Freeman.
Yeah.
I thought he played it right. Now, as you said, you can't manage against walks. You can't manage against some of the bad luck that happened for the Padres last night, but. I thought he played it perfectly.
Padres and Dodgers again. It'll be JoJo Musgrove, no Joe, against Yamamoto. We'll see the debut of the Dodgers' new ace. We saw the debut of Jackson Merrill hit the ball on the screws. I know his first time up. I don't recall.
Two of the three,
yeah. I should fill you in on this, Tony, at our you may not be aware, or unless you've been
through
Twitter.
I actually texted Tony.
Oh, did you tell him?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Like, upwards of 400 people showed up in the middle of the night down at the 7 Mile Casino. We could barely even, you know, shoehorn our way in there to watch this game. The Padres fans were incredible. And
were you guys listening to the game on the radio?
We were not. That wasn't my choice.
Well, there was a big
there was a little of a snafu there, Tony, and I don't know
more
if we
to the story.
There's a little more to the story. They had the Don Orsillo.
So Scraby had me give a shout out for no reason then last night.
Scraby!
What? No, I was saying that people were telling me as they were driving in that they were enjoying Jesse and Tony on the radio.
Oh,
and
okay.
Jeez.
I was, well, you know, I don't know. I'll leave that alone. I just think, you know.
Yeah, we had.
Watch parties should have 97.3 playing up top. I'm just saying.
Sweet. Yes. That was very cool, but it did what it just basically trickled out into the ether. Sorry.
Yes.
No, we had two different feeds coming into the 7 Mile Casino. One was the streaming and the other was the telecast. And so suffice to say that in different parts of the casino, the game was going on at different times.
Yes, and the speaker
so that was a little
working.
Bit of a snafu. But, you know, it was opening day for everybody. What can I say?
Right.
Overreactions, middle of the lineup went 0 for 14. You know, I don't know what else you can say. Tyler Wade made an error, so what? I mean, it's part of baseball. You know, everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people, well, this proves we got to get Brandon Belt. We got to get Tommy Pham. Seems a little early for everybody to be overreacting, but I thought I'd mention it to you. Just, I mean, your thoughts on, you know, what else you saw from the Padres on offense today, which wasn't a whole lot, unfortunately.
I thought they actually did well against Glasnow. I thought they were, they didn't do anything against the bullpen for the Dodgers, which talking to those guys on that other side, they feel like that's a strong point of their team. But I thought, you know, first of all, Tyler Glasnow was throwing pellets. It was 97, 99. He's throwing like a 92-mile-per-hour slider, an 85-mile-per-hour curveball. I mean, he was on his game, at least for an opening day start. And I thought, honestly, the Padres put together their better at bats against Glasnow, I thought, than they did against the bullpen. But, you know, in those type of games, you know, it could swing one way on an inning, on a play. And we saw that the Padres led through most of that game, 2-1. They had done some of the things that they were atrocious at last year, situational baseball. They did a good job against a good job last night. But when the bullpen came in, you know, you got to give them some credit on the other side. They shut the Padres down for the most part.
You know, you're bringing up a good point because we've talked about the glove gate, you know, pretty much ad nauseum today and talked about, you know, the walks. But had they won the game 2-1, we would have been talking about Profar executing a bunt. We would have talked about Tyler Wade doing a nice job of tagging up and moving from second to third on a fly ball, putting himself in position to score. We would have talked about Bogarts coming up with a, you know, a hit with runners in scoring position, something we didn't do last year. So you're right. There were a lot of things that were done well that ended up getting swept under the rug because they didn't win the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's going to be the thing that we're, at least early, that we're paying the closest attention because they did a really good job in spring training, but we all know that doesn't mean anything. You know, once these games start, that's when real execution has to happen. And offensively, in the moments that they had, they did a really good job. But, you know, a walk here, a bad luck play here, all of a sudden that inning, they put up a 4 spot. And, you know, that's in that type of game, that could be the thing that ends up putting you in.
Yeah,
doing you in.
That was a ball game. What was your feeling on the Shohei Ohtani debut and all of the hullabaloo that went along with that today?
Well, the hullabaloo seems to be getting bigger today.
Yes, it is. Have you followed this story? Okay, so you're aware, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it hit the phone pretty early here. So, yeah, it's crazy that we were all in the same building yesterday. And then this morning, my man gets caught for, you know, places some bets with, it sounds like, with Ohtani's money. So we'll as that story kind of unfolds. But in terms of Ohtani, man, I mean, it's a spectacle. I mean, the dude is massive. Dude is massive. I think we so often, the thing I notice, we so often think about his pitching and his hitting prowess. This dude is fast. Like, he is a big dude that can float. Like, he hit 2 ground balls yesterday, and we didn't have a chance to turn the double play on either of them. I mean, that's how quick he's getting down the line. But, you know, I thought the Padres, you know, this was a good opening act for the Padres. And, no, they'll get a chance to kind of redeem themselves with Joe on the mound today, tonight.
All right, Padres will be the visiting team, by the way, on the scoreboard and in the game tonight. So they'll bat first, if you're wondering. Tony and Jesse will have the call. NCAA tournament, Tony, I don't know that you'll get to take in a lot of it. The Aztecs don't play till Friday. You're probably going to be on an airplane, I'm guessing, at that point. I don't know where you're going to be. You probably don't know where you're going to be.
I'll be home by that point. I'll be trying to get back on our clock that whole Friday.
Because
we get home, I think Thursday night, I'm probably going to take Friday so I can try to get myself together for the long weekend we got with, we got the celebration of life for Peter on Saturday. And then
The Fan Fest, and by the way, Scrapey
Fan Fest on Sunday.
Yeah, Scrapey wanted me to ask you if he can play in the softball game.
Chris, I did not ask you to ask him that. I told you, I'm giving up on that dream.
He's really upset about it. Don't let him kid you, Tony. He's really upset.
I'm really upset.
There's some big heavy hitters coming, man. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get you in the
lineup. It's gonna be a lot of fun. That softball game will be part of the Fan Fest activities on Sunday. As we told you earlier, we will be doing our show from 4 to 6 on Sunday too. So hopefully everybody will be out there. But more importantly, listen to the game tonight, watch the game. Tony and Jesse have the call. Hey, play this call again of the Cronenworth play.
All right.
Because listen to how smart you sound, Tony. I'm not kidding you. Because nobody knew this ball went through his glove except you.
Bucks 0-for-3, flew out to deep left his last time. Swings at the first pitch, grounds into the right side. Cronenworth has it go off the glove into right field. Hernandez rounding third on his way. He will score. And for the first time tonight, the Dodgers lead. It's 3-2.
This is bad luck for Cronenworth. This ball actually goes through his glove. He's walking off the field right now to get a new glove.
Yeah, you were all over it,
man.
You were all over it. I'm impressed because I saw the play. I didn't see it go through his glove.
I got to be honest. I don't have like these like X-ray vision eyes or anything. I just, it's off experience. I know ball players' mannerisms. And immediately he looked in his glove. And Jake's not the type to make an error, like a boot a ball. And like, you know how sometimes we...
All right, really happy that Tony is with us. Special treat to have him on with the proceedings today. Tony, how are you? How did the call go? How was the how were the opening tonight festivities?
Good. It was as anticipated. A lot of important faces on the field before the game, and then obviously the game. Was going, I thought, pretty well until that eighth inning. But, it was nice to finally play some baseball games that actually counted.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, just to welcome you to what we've been talking about all day today. They're calling it Glovegate, Tony.
Already, huh?
That's right. What in the world happened to Jake Cronenworth's glove? Now, I got to give Annie Heilbrun credit for the title of that, but Scraby and I have run with it with all kinds of, Scraby, ridiculous conspiracy theories. I don't believe any of those conspiracy theories. However, something happened because I've been watching baseball a long time. I don't recall a ball going right through a glove. I've seen many of them get stuck in the webbing. But this is something that I was honestly shocked happened. And I also want to congratulate you because we played your call. You're in Jesse's call. And you noticed it right away. And I don't think anybody else even noticed it until they showed replays. Have you ever seen this happen before?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
It happens every year. Sorry, Scrape. I don't know what's going on with my camera right now.
I'll just take you off camera. Don't worry.
I think my computer needs a charge. It's probably why the camera's not acting the proper way. This happens. It happens often. I would venture to say it happens a couple times a year. a ball goes through a glove, the webbing. You know, guys are attached to their glove. You see how fast Krohn was able to get a new one and be out there. He probably had that glove, but when you break a glove in after, you know, so much time and work spent on it, you're not expecting a ball to sizzle through the webbing like that. It's always a surprise, but, and, you know, it's just an unfortunate, really bad luck for the Padres on that particular play, because Jay got a tremendous jump on that ball and was going to turn two. I have no doubt, and they would have got out that inning. Instead, that ball rolls. It's, you know, basically whips through that webbing. And, you know, that kind of opened the floodgates a little bit.
Ah, it's unbelievable that had happened. And here's the other thing I was bringing up, Tony, was that, you know, he takes infield with that glove before every inning. So that means that, you know, he was getting throws from short and third and second base right before the inning started. So it obviously was working like 5-10 minutes before this happened. And it wasn't like Gavin Lux, you know, hit a seed down there. It was just a regular routine hopper. So, I mean, it just seemed to defy everything that can happen with a glove. But there it was, torn right through.
Now, it's easy to focus in on the ball going through the glove, but that actually, you know, wasn't what put him in that situation. You had the pitch clock walk that got that inning started.
Yeah.
You had a single before that. You had a walk before that actual at-bat. And, you know, that plagued the Padres last night, 9 walks. It's hard to, you know, I think Jesse is having our PR team kind of look into it, see, you know, a 9-walk game and a team being able to end up victorious. That probably doesn't happen a lot. But, yeah, obviously the walks are going to happen, hits are going to happen, and you get a play like that where they can get you out of an inning. You know, that all kind of could have changed it a little bit. But, you know, Padres, at least last night, they struggled with the walk part portion of it.
Yeah, not only 9 walks, had a hit batter. So they gave the Dodgers 10 freebies last night. And you know, the game opened with a pitch clock violation on Yu Darvish, which I honestly, because I had forgotten all about the pitch clock myself, and I wonder if you kind of forgot about it. But
we played the first two exhibition games without a clock, without any of the rules.
See, there
the
you
funny,
go.
The funny thing was, both of those games were like 2.5 hours. Like, it was almost like the clock wasn't needed. And then all of a sudden the clock goes up and you got violations everywhere.
Did you like, and I did, but the way Mike Shildt managed this game, I mean, he used 8 pitchers. Maybe I'm short, 8. But he said he's going to manage it like a playoff game because he only got the 2 games, you know, before everybody can reset. I thought he did everything right. I mean, you can't manage against the walks, and you can't manage against, you know, the ball bouncing through like that. But I thought the Padres did everything, you know, that they could do here.
I thought he pushed all the right buttons, quite frankly. I think maybe the Darvish outing, you know, the long inning kind of sped that up a little bit, where he had to go to the bullpen a little sooner than he wanted to. But he played the matchups the way I think, you know, a lot of people were clamoring for last year. In all likelihood, Wandy Peralta could very well be the setup man, right? But in last night's game, he came in the 7th because the best lefties were all coming up in the 7th. So he came in that spot, and I think it was Betts, Otani, Freeman.
Yeah.
I thought he played it right. Now, as you said, you can't manage against walks. You can't manage against some of the bad luck that happened for the Padres last night. But I thought he played it perfectly.
Padres and Dodgers again. It'll be JoJo Musgrove, no Joe, against Yamamoto. We'll see the debut of the Dodgers' new ace. We saw the debut of Jackson Merrill hit the ball on the screws. I know his first time up. I don't recall. We had
two of the three.
Two of the three, yeah. I should fill you in on this, Tony. At our, you may not be aware, or unless you've been
through
Twitter.
I actually texted Tony.
Oh, did you tell him?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Like upwards of 400 people showed up in the middle of the night down at the 7 Mile Casino. We could barely even, you know, shoehorn our way in there to watch this game. The Padre fans were incredible. And
were you guys listening to the game on the radio?
We were not. That wasn't my choice.
Well, there was a big
there was a little of a snafu there, Tony, and I don't know
more
if we
to the story.
There's a little more to the story. They had the Don Orsillo.
So Scraby had me give a shout out for no reason then last night.
Scraby!
What? No, I was saying that people were telling me as they were driving in that they were enjoying Jesse and Tony on the radio.
Okay.
Jeez.
I don't know. I'll leave that alone. I just think, you know.
Yeah, we had
watch parties to have 97.3 playing up top. I'm just saying.
Sweet.
Yes.
That was very cool. But it did what it just basically trickled out into the ether. Sorry.
Yes.
No, we had two different feeds coming into the 7 Mile Casino. One was the streaming and the other was the telecast. And so suffice to say that in different parts of the casino, the game was going on at different times.
Yes, and the speaker
so that was a little
working.
Bit of a snafu. But, you know, it was opening day for everybody. What can I say?
Right.
Overreactions, middle of the lineup went 0 for 14. You know, I don't know what else you can say. Tyler Wade made an error. So what? I mean, it's part of baseball. You know, everybody's not everybody, but a lot of people. Well, this proves we got to get Brandon Belt. We got to get Tommy Pham. Seems a little early for everybody to be overreacting, but I thought I'd mention it to you. Just, I mean, your thoughts on, you know, what else you saw from the Padres on offense today, which wasn't a whole lot, unfortunately.
I thought they actually did well against Glasnow. I thought they were. They didn't do anything against the bullpen for the Dodgers, which talking to those guys on that other side, they feel like that's a strong point of their team. But I thought, you know, first of all, Tyler Glasnow was throwing pellets. It was 97, 99. He's throwing like a 92-mile-per-hour slider, an 85-mile-per-hour curveball. I mean, he was on his game, at least for an opening day start. And I thought, honestly, the Padres put together their better at bats against Glasnow, I thought, than they did against the bullpen. But, you know, in those type of games, you know, it can swing one way on an inning, on a play. And we saw that the Padres led through most of that game, 2-1. They had done some of the things that they were atrocious at last year, situational baseball. They did a good job against last night, but when the bullpen came in, you know, you got to give them some credit on the other side. They shut the Padres down for the most part.
You know, you're bringing up a good point because we've talked about the glove gate, you know, pretty much ad nauseum today and talked about, you know, the walks. But had they won the game 2-1, we would have been talking about Profar executing a bunt. We would have talked about Tyler Wade doing a nice job of tagging up and moving from second to third on a fly ball, putting himself in position to score. We would have talked about Bogarts coming up with a hit with runners in scoring position, something we didn't do last year. So you're right. There were a lot of things that were done well that ended up getting swept under the rug because they didn't win the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's going to be the thing that we're, at least early, that we're paying the closest attention because they did a really good job in spring training, but we all know that doesn't mean anything. You know, once these games start, that's when real execution has to happen. And offensively, in the moments that they had, they did a really good job. But, a walk here, a bad luck play here, all of a sudden that inning, they put up a four spot. And, you know, that's in that type of game, that could be the thing that ends up putting you in.
Yeah,
doing you in.
That was a ball game. What was your feeling on the Shohei Ohtani debut and all of the hullabaloo that went along with that today?
Well, the hullabaloo seems to be getting bigger today.
Yes, it is. Have you followed this story? Okay, so you're aware, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it hit the phone pretty early here. So, it's crazy that we were all in the same building yesterday. And then this morning, my man gets caught for, you know, places some bets with, it sounds like, with Ohtani's money. So we'll as that story kind of unfolds. But in terms of Ohtani, man, I mean, it's a spectacle. I mean, the dude is massive. I think we so often, the thing I notice, we so often think about his pitching and his hitting prowess. This dude is fast. Like, he is a big dude that can float. Like, he hit two ground balls yesterday, and we didn't have a chance to turn a double play on either of them. I mean, that's how quick he's getting down the line. But, you know, I thought the Padres, you know, this was a good opening act for the Padres. And, you know, they'll get a chance to kind of redeem themselves with Joe on the mound today, tonight.
All right, Padres will be the visiting team, by the way, on the scoreboard and in the game tonight. So they'll bat first, if you're wondering. Tony and Jesse will have the call. NCAA tournament, Tony, I don't know that you'll get to take in a lot of it. The Aztecs don't play till Friday. You're probably going to be on an airplane, I'm guessing, at that point. I don't know where you're going to be. You probably don't know where you're going to be.
I'll be home by that point. I'll be trying to get back on our clock that whole Friday.
Because
we get home, I think Thursday night, I'm probably going to take Friday so I can try to get myself together for the long weekend we got with, we got the celebration of life for Peter on Saturday. And then
The Fan Fest, and by the way, Scrapey
Fan Fest on Sunday.
Yeah, Scrapey wanted me to ask you if he can play in the softball game.
Chris, I did not ask you to ask him that. I told you, I'm giving up on that dream.
he's really upset about it. Don't let him kid you, Tony. He's really upset.
I'm really upset.
There's some big heavy hitters coming, man. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get you in the lineup.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. That softball game will be part of the Fan Fest activities on Sunday. As we told you earlier, we will be doing our show from 4 to 6 on Sunday too, so hopefully everybody will be out there. But more importantly, you know, listen to the game tonight, watch the game. Tony and Jesse have the call. Hey, play this call again of the Cronenworth play.
All right.
Because listen to how smart you sound, Tony. I'm not kidding you. Because nobody knew this ball went through his glove except you.
Bucks 0-for-3, flew out to deep left his last time. Swings at the first pitch, grounds into the right side. Cronenworth has it go off the glove into right field. Hernandez rounding third on his way. He will score. And for the first time tonight, the Dodgers lead. It's 3-2.
This is bad luck for Cronenworth. This ball actually goes through his glove. He's walking off the field right now to get a new glove.
Yeah, you were all over it,
you
man.
Were.
You were all over it. I'm impressed. I'm impressed because I saw the play. I didn't see it go through his glove.
I got to be honest. I don't have like these like X-ray vision eyes or anything. It's off experience. I know ball players' mannerisms. Immediately, he looked in his glove. And Jake's not the type to make an error, like a boot a ball and like, you know how sometimes we make an error, we look at our glove, or we make a throwing error, we're like looking at our hand, like what are you doing, right? I know Jake's not that kind of guy. So as soon as I saw him looking at his glove, I was like, that ball must have went through. And then shortly after he did that, he started walking off the field, and I was like, oh, he's getting a new glove.
Unbelievable.
And that's a terrible, terrible feel, especially when you know you're about to make a play that gets you out of the inning. That ends the inning and stops whatever bleeding is happening at that point.
Oh.
I'm sure that was pretty frustrating for him.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was frustrating for everybody, for every Padre fan. I mean, so many fans today are saying, you know what, it's the first game and already this kind of stuff is happening to us. So, you know, people are heading down the rabbit hole.
It is easy to go down that rabbit
hole. Yeah. I'm about to say, it's probably after last year, it's probably pretty easy to fall into that immediately.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Now, do we have your? I want to get your final four picks. You're in the.
Got to turn on my mic.
Turn your mic on.
No idea the anxiety that Chris is feeling about this.
A lot of stress. A lot of stress. I want to get your bracket, but we can't access your bracket in the pool contest.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because I can't. You can't see
like
people's
the commissioner.
Brackets.
Why can't you see it?
Because you can't see people's brackets until the games start.
Whatever. All right.
I think I have UNC. I think Marquette.
Wow. All right.
I picked Marquette.
Gosh, I can't remember the other two.
UConn?
I got some upsets. I got Utah getting beat by us. Of course.
Oh, that a boy, Tony. Nice. I love it. Last year, I had the guts to pick us over Alabama. I did not have the guts to pick us over UConn.
UConn left a bad taste in your mouth, huh?
They did. Although I did, it would be great if we get another chance at them. All right, Tony, what's always great getting caught up with you. It's been amazing that you've been able to join us the last 3 days from halfway around the world. So
yes.
It's great. And you know, we're here. So anytime you want to pop in, I know you're
here.
Well, he knows that. I'm just saying.
Hey. Well, he's coming home tomorrow or tonight. Well,
yeah, I'm coming home. Coming home tomorrow or tonight, and then we'll be back at it Monday.
All right, you got it. Well, we'll see you over the weekend, hopefully at the Fan Fest somehow, some way.
We'll be at it on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you.
All right,
man.
Thanks,
well,
Tony.
Great call. Great job on the hole in the glove. I can't believe you spotted it, but that's what makes you you.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us from South Korea. Big Five pushed back a little bit, but coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.